So today we're talking about the rethinking the RE of responsibility.
Responsibility.
Yeah, big word. Big word, big topic. Hi, I'm Steve Rick.
And I'm Tim Elliott.
And welcome to the RE of Marketing podcast.
A podcast where we rethink, replay and remark on all good things to do with branding and marketing.
Everybody's talking about the responsibility of brands at the moment.
Yeah.
And talking about the responsibility of, you know, sustainability and all those different things. So it's quite a meaty subject. And I thought it would be worthwhile us talking about it. It's really, really interesting how you're seeing a lot of brands jumping on the bandwagon at the moment. And it makes me question how important responsibility is inside a brand and how organizations have to have it filter all the way through an organization if they're just using it for marketing purposes.
Yeah, that is always the question and my doubt about a bunch of stuff. There's obviously, like to me, I know I'm in the game, right? Which is, so it makes, I have a different worldview from many, but to me, it's super obvious the ones who have purpose at the core and people who are saying nice stuff in marketing.
But do you have to build your business from the beginning and in the very early days? Do you have to start out with that purpose in mind, or can you find a purpose through time and then change towards it, which is what people are trying to do at the moment?
I mean, There's a general trend and front-of-mindedness in business and in leadership teams that I know who are trying to run their business more responsibly. So to do good work, but to do work better, right? So whether that responsibility is through improving employee experience to have better retention and in the end deliver a better customer experience, whether that's a true brand purpose, whether they're you know, like Tom's shoes, like if you buy a pair of shoes, I'll give another one to somebody in need, a social good purpose, you know, a real thing, whether it's a drive to do something to help people improve, like Simon Sinek, who we mentioned a few times, who job is to, like purpose is to inspire people, right? That's the thing that drives people to understand themselves a bit more. Like when we ran our first little project and business together, we discovered the why situation at the same time, or came about, or,
I remember driving back from an appointment at Stonewall, and you put it on as a podcast or a YouTube video, and it just blew me away. Absolutely blew me away.
So, like, I don't think, and especially now it's more popular, more people are banding the term about, whether or not they fully understand or are using it in the black and white dictionary definition. Do you know what I mean? I think it's more out there, but I think there's a responsibility. There's a responsibility of every organization to do good work and to do work better, which I term as like the experience equation. So the brand experience before employee experience before customer experience, coined off Adam Ferrier from the most beautiful named agency in Australia, Thinkabell. Beautiful. Beautiful. Good work, Adam. Good work on that. I think it's that they've got a human responsibility there, and the people they're in charge of, right? They care of.
Everybody's got to have that. Well, you should. Not everybody has, but everybody should have that human responsibility.
There's sustainability. Right, yeah. Responsibility to the ecosystem you were in.
That's the one that people seem to be jumping on more and more, isn't it? And don't get me wrong, everybody should be jumping on that bandwagon, but to me, it just seems a little bit wet in a way, if that makes sense. It feels like people aren't doing it for the good cause. It feels like they're doing it because they feel like they're forced to have to do it.
And I think there's, you know, there's an element of expectation now, right? That people who have sustainability towards the front of their mind and actions as an organization. A great example I saw actually recently was, I think it was a rerun on the Dragon's Den, which is the pitch show for people who don't know what Dragon's Den is. But a guy...
Shark Tank in America.
Yeah, Shark Tank in America. They did pasta straws to eliminate plastic straws, right? Because plastic straws are bad. They've not been in the pub for ages. They have paper ones, but paper ones are kind of rubbish if you leave them in a drink, which is tricky for a straw.
Yeah.
So he's invented pasta straws, right? And went, wow, I've solved it. Like, pasta's proper cheap, blah, blah, it's durable, it didn't go soggy, amazing, right? So pasta straws. And Deborah Meaden, who is a sustainability ledge, by all accounts.
Completely.
She really knows her stuff, right? Much more than I do, so I'm sorry if I get the science wrong. But she asked the question, so in the production of wheat, which goes into producing pasta, right, which you make your product from, how does that correlate to the production of paper? Are you actually better than paper? And the guy was like, what? Sorry? So, well, you're saying you're going to do nearly a million straws next year, right? What impact is that in compared to a million paper straws?
Yeah.
And he was like, I made pasta straws. They're better than plastic. Yes, they are better than plastic, but are they better than paper?
Paper.
And he was like, See, that's an example of going, oh, I'm doing this amazing thing, and then going... Yeah, but it's not that amazing, is it?
But at least at the core of that business that he was doing, he may not have researched or looked at the paper, you know, carbon footprint that was being made. But at least he was trying. That was almost from his gut. He was going, this could right the wrongs of all the plastic. Whereas, let's throw this in there now. Look at Sky, for example, and their ocean plastic rescue mission, which has been going on for 2 or 3 years, and it will continue to go on. Are they doing that because they really care about the plastics in the sea, or are they doing that because they think they should be doing that?
See, good question. I mean, the plastic...
Yeah, it's really hard. It just feels like some things haven't been purpose-driven and they've just been brought in to fit a jigsaw piece.
Yeah, and I think, like, even if you're doing a little bit, there's two things for the pasta straw guy, right? A, harping back to an earlier episode, he probably should have done the research if he's putting that in his marketing. If he's making that promise in his marketing, he better be able to
prove it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Lesson number one. Number two is, even if you do a little bit, great, because, like, we do need to do stuff. Everybody needs to do more stuff in world of sustainability, right? We all have a responsibility to try and do it better, right? We have a responsibility. We just do, because we live on the planet and for the kids and all that stuff. I'm not going to turn into Greta Thunberg. But,
yeah,
like, so just doing a little bit is good. But I think there's... And I've said this before, definitely in our conversations, maybe not on the podcast, but there's a certain depth which comes with a true purpose that's at the core of everything they do, to doing some good stuff. Like, you could be like petrochemical companies are putting, you know, are you know, the thing they're trying to destroy is themselves. So they're putting loads of money into solar and wind and energy.
Yes. Yeah.
Because are they doing that because in a few years they'll be buggered from a business model anyway?
Yes, but they are doing it. That's one of the reasons they're doing it.
Right. And that you just don't know. But there's kind of a gut or a sense of people who have who are purpose driven, who have a real purpose, you can tell by those who don't. And I think there's a bunch of businesses out there who are doing all of it, who are real purpose driven organizations. And then there's a bunch of who have retrofitted it or trying to append a purpose to the work they're doing, which is good, which is also good.
It's great. I'm not.
I would say it's difficult, right?
Yeah, everybody should be doing it. Everybody should be doing something for sustainable, environmental, etc. I don't want to get too philosophical about things, but we are this little piece in time in this little space that we've got to look after. And it's not down to one company or two companies or one government or two governments. It's down to everybody to make that difference. But we need to really feel that we've got, and that's got to come through. So if people are just, you know, badging little bits onto products and services, that's great, because you are doing something towards it. But if you're not fully behind it, for your brand, it's not going to portray the best viewpoint from your customer's perspective. And, you know, coming away from this is a marketing podcast. The whole point of us bringing up responsibility was, are the things that you are doing in your purpose, in sustainability, in all these different things, does it portray your brand correctly? Is it something you are fully bought into? And even if you had no customers and had no product, it'd be something you'd still want to do, because that's when you get down to that core essence of it.
That's a great question, Matt, because it's a real genuine question at the front of everybody's mind, is even if it's this isn't going to make us any money, do we still care enough to do it?
Yeah.
Right. And that will be at the front of that. So I wrote a question here kind of along those lines. So what is the responsibility of a marketer when faced with a client or a boss or a leader who comes to them with, we want to do brand purpose? Because everybody's doing brand purpose.
Yeah.
That we want to be more sustainable. We want to have that feeling, right?
But it's strange, isn't it? Because, you know, purpose doesn't mean sustainability.
No.
Purpose could be many things.
Like Simon Sinek, right? Nothing to do.
Exactly.
Technically.
It could be, you know, getting young people into education, for example. But you can find the ones, and this is why I asked the question at the beginning, which is it something that you've got to create at the beginning of a business, or is it something you can find as your business grows, or is it something you can just attach on at the end? I don't think there's a clear answer on it. I think the ones that seem more true are the ones that are creating a business around it, or have created a business with that at the core at the beginning. So when I look at people like Ella's Kitchen, you know, the baby food people.
Yeah.
Everything that they do is all about using natural ingredients for children's health when they're growing up. They will not touch an artificial product. They will not touch all these different things. And that's a clear purpose that they've got. It's about the nutrition of young people, good nutrition. Whereas, and I don't want to hate on Sky. I love Sky. But the ocean plastic thing doesn't feel like it's part of what that brand's trying to be or portray. And is there something different that they could have done for their purpose? Their purpose is about people having the most amount of content for a good price a month, access to every content across all countries. Actually, the sustainability thing for me, would I say it annoys me? Perhaps, because it feels like it's a plug-on, even though they should be doing that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to reframe that, right? So I'm going to reframe that.
Go ahead.
I'm going to reframe responsibility, right? I think if we strip it back, like responsibility and purpose and sustainability, what it always comes down to, or what's the kernel at the center of it, is change, right? Do we have to make a change in our business?
Yeah.
Right? for whatever reason, for legislation, which, you know, could be sustainable, you're going to have to be like a better carbon footprint, for example, right? So like
legally, yeah, just go legally,
right? But there's a change at the front of that, right? What change are you trying to make, or do you have to change, right? And then what story do you tell about it? So there's an option there that you used with Sky.
Yeah,
I've gone, hey, ocean plastic matters, let's do ocean plastic thing, and people are going, all right, nice one.
Yeah.
Right, and not getting super behind it. Whereas, for example, the people who do the Chasing Coral documentary, right, whose whole life is about the damage that we're doing specifically to coral, but obviously the water of the world, right, who... You are absolutely 100% convinced that that matters more than anything to them, right?
Yes.
Where Sky going, oh, yeah, nice. The big, massive TV company is doing some ocean plastic thing.
Yeah, I think that's possibly what it is, and I haven't really thought about it in much detail because I think it's because they are such a big company. You'd expect them to be doing more, probably.
Maybe, but I think it comes down to the an element of change. Change is the word, right? And then the story you tell about it.
Yeah.
What it's, and now I've not seen the ocean plastic Sky thing, right? So no. I'm working on the
assumption. Yeah.
An assumption of this, right? But it feels, from what you say, a guy I know and trust and have known for ages, right?
Yeah.
That your interpretation of the story was, oh, they're doing a ocean plastic thing.
Yes.
And the story you told didn't have the element of passion, the element that came over to the one
example
we did in the, this is the great art story, right? We, at the end of the last episode, we spoke about Simon Sinek and his reframing ability.
Yes.
And that story, and of Hamilton, right? Of me, of Hamilton, right? There was a real me telling you that story because it fucking mattered. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a passion behind it.
Because
that's it.
Right, I cared about it. I'm not just going, I watched Hamilton last night.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not the same story. But story communicates change, has been the roadmap for change, has been the vehicle that change has been on from the beginning, right? It's the original way you communicate change. And I think even if, right, I've got a point, it's coming, I know it's a long one, but even if it's the fact that you've appended some responsibility, sustainability, some brand purpose later in your business's life, it all depends on the story you tell about it. Now, I'm not saying make up an amazing story, but it's the quality of the story you tell. You may have only discovered recently that climate change is an issue and your little business can do something about it, right, in your little corner of the world, which is fine. Like, but be honest and tell that good story. And story is a map of the change you're going to make, right? It's future thinking. You can show people that journey. If you look at Google Heroes Journey at this point, people, after the podcast probably. But it will take you through that transformation, that change, right? From an old existing world through a challenge to a new reformed world. So it's okay that you've only just decided to make this change, but change in how you communicate it is the important thing. You have the responsibility to tell a flipping good story about whatever change you're making.
I'm so on board with that. I now we've discussed that, that is probably the reason why some things haven't landed. And that's why I get perturbed at people just going out there saying, oh, well, we're looking at sustainability, we're looking at doing this, we're looking at doing that. Because they're not telling the story of what they're trying to achieve. They're not saying the reasons why they've got involved. They're not telling the challenges that they're trying to So again, everybody can talk about villains, everybody can talk about nemesis, but nobody's actually telling us the reason why they had a call to adventure and why they crossed the threshold to be that mentor in that world.
An old workshop I used to do on back in the day when I was focused on the social media element of life, back in my early freelance days, I used to do a workshop on social media, and we're talking about engagement on social media, right? And on social media channels, you have a thumb or a heart.
Yeah.
Like the thumbs up icon, let's use that, right? The thumbs up icon is the lowest form of flattery. The Sky News, right? The Sky Project and many other projects make me go, thumbs up, Sky. Thumbs up. It's all right. Like, you've done a good thing, but you're getting a thumbs up. I'm not engaged enough. I'm not resonant enough. I'm not inspired enough to say, well done, Sky, in the comments. I'm certainly not engaged or resonated enough with to then share that story with somebody else. If you go in that, the marketing technical terms, right?
Yeah. So,
thumbs up, lowest form of flattery, making a comment, good engagement, sharing it with somebody else, best engagement, right? I am not, I think there's tales of that. And the ones who don't tell a good story about the change they're making, because Sky have made a good change, right? They've done a good thing.
No, it's also that, and
thumbs up.
You sit here and you know, I question their motive, but they're doing a good thing. And I can't go against that. It's completely the right thing to do.
We've not done an episode on story, but we do in real life talk about story a lot. And what a good story does, right? It you have to tell the story of the good work you do. So I do a lot of commercial storytelling workshops, and I always say the line of story like helps you tell the story of the good work you do. It does mean you have to do good work though, because otherwise people are telling the story of you doing bad work, which is not the story you need to tell.
Yeah, it's completely right.
So you do need to do good work. That is not related to the story. Story helps you communicate that, helps you amplify it, helps it stick to people's brains so they can then tell that story of the good work you do, right? It's like a magnet, it's sticky. But you need to do good work, right? And this thing by Sky is good work, but it's a thumbs up.
It's awesome work.
It's a thumbs up, right? I'm missing a bunch of science and money and stuff out of this because I've not heard of it before, right? But just as a top level example, I think.
But it's not. I'm not just hating on Sky. There are lots of companies out there, and the reason that I brought it up that way is because there will be lots of companies or people out there, hopefully listening to this, going, "I should be doing something. I need to plug something in the background," and you don't want people to have that feeling of they're doing it because they have to do it.
But that's the story.
Yeah.
Right? The thing is the important thing.
Story around it.
The story is the thing around the change you're making and why you're making the change, right? It's how you communicate, how you.
But also, it's not just story, though, is it? It's passion as well, because you can tell just by speaking to people or just engaging with them who actually believe things against who actually don't believe in things.
But again, that, like we mentioned in previous episodes, right? The first place you tell the story is inside. You start inside out, right?
Yeah.
If you're making a change, there'll be people in your organisation who are, it's their first job, they're on 18, 20 grand a year, right? They get in at 2 minutes to nine and they leave at 2 minutes to five. Like, it's there's people in every organisation, this is fine. We've all done it. We were all little. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got people who are the other end of the thing. Everybody needs, even if they don't personally believe it, right, needs to understand the story and what role they play in it, right? Their character in this little story. Why it's important that they fulfill these promises in this story, because as an organisation, right, as a big picture, the role of the admin or the receptionist or the cleaner is as important as the, harping back to the NASA example, right? The chief engineer. They're all there to put people on the moon, right? Even the, like, we can't do it without people doing this little bit of the thing, right? They need to understand that, right? And that's done through story, right? That's done, that story helps you create remarkable employee experiences. If you do that, your employees will deliver a remarkable customer experience. If you do that, the brand experience will be amazing, right? But it's all, like, it's the stories you tell about the change. Internal stories to stakeholders, to leadership groups, are slightly different context and format to the ones you tell your customers, to the ones you tell your employees, your lower level teams, are slightly different to the ones you tell your investors. Right?
But there might be slightly different stories, but that core essence, that core purpose stays the same.
Yeah, we're making this change because of this, right?
Yeah.
The context around that, for an investor to a young fellow who's a receptionist on his first job, is different, right? They don't need to know the same bones.
That's it. Because it comes back down to the Simon Sinek golden circles again, but your why will always stay the same. Your how may change, and your what you're doing will change, depending on what you're doing. But your why is your bullseye. It's the thing that will never move, never shift. Every decision that you make has got to ensure that it's working towards your why.
And you can use it visually. I've always been a fan of compass and maps and direction and journey and that sort of analogy, right? Because
Your true north statement.
Your true north, right? Your purpose, your change, your thing is the true north that helps you always reflects, like, where if you're pointing true north, right? And story is a map that shows people how they're going to get there.
Yeah.
Right. You don't need to, you know, where you're going and why you've started the journey, right? Two ends of the story are the same to no matter who you're telling it. Like, the bits, the journey they'll take to get to there is different for the receptionist and your investor. It's just different, right? It's, they're taking a different story. They're playing a different role. They need to know different parts of it. Like we've said before, the operational guys need that story that you tell them to be a flipping Bible, right? It needs to be word in, word out, verbatim of what bloody hell's going to go on and how they're meant to deliver it, right? Whereas the investor needs to know, we're going over here, it's going to be amazing, right?
Completely wrong. Do you think that everybody... and everybody listening here should have that responsibility arm? It doesn't have to be sustainability.
No.
They've got to have a good story. Everybody's got to have a good story. But should everybody be looking to be a responsible company and giving back in some way or means to something?
I think it's becoming expected. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think there'll ever be a verbatim yes or no, but I certainly... and not just me, I'm not even the most in that space, but there's a lot of talk about younger generations and millennials and stuff being super purpose driven, whether you believe it or not.
Completely.
But, you know, I think it's expected, like, good service is expected. Some sort of purpose or sustainability is expected. Right? It's expected to be good value now. I think... if you're starting or running a company, you better be doing good work now because it's expected.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, it's tricky to slip up. There's a lot of competition, and there's, if the stories about you are being told are the bad ones, like, trying to get that back is super difficult. Right.
It's really interesting that you touched on that, the culture shift through the generations. So, I am just classed as a millennial, like, by a month or two.
Well, millennials are most people now, aren't they, technically?
Like, yeah.
80,
yeah,
35 or something.
Yeah, but millennials and Gen Z are looking for more socially responsible companies and will make that choice now, not just on things like price. They're going to make things on, I don't mind spending that extra £5 or £10 on that thing because they're doing something better for the good of the human race or for the good of all animals or whatever it is. They will make that choice on laying up next to their passion.
Yeah. I think it's, I think it's definitely that. And it comes to value proposition, right? Like value and price are not the same thing.
No, not at all.
Right. Value is not a number, it's a feeling. So how do you deliver feeling? Story is definitely that, right? Story drives people, not product.
I remember you and I had a good WhatsApp conversational stroke argument about 3 or 4 weeks ago, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, when we're talking about proposition and if story sits inside proposition or not.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was great because it showed that we both had differences of opinions, but actually that's good. That's a good thing to have a difference of opinion.
Yeah. You need to you need to be challenged in life, right?
Yeah, of course you do. I'm a big believer that the story drives every decision that you make. So if you don't understand your story, you don't understand what the ordinary world is like and how you're going to get to the extraordinary world, how the hell can you tell what value you're going to provide in a proposition?
Mm. Yeah. Like it's exactly that, right? And there'll be, like, it's just, it's your responsibility as marketers, right, to tell an impactful story, to tell the right story, right?
Yeah.
For that to be true, right, for that to be possible, you need to have an organization that's got a story to tell. Like there's something about it, a change in room with this, like a responsibility to do good work, right? It's your responsibility to understand what good work is, why people should care, and then tell that story, right? So, yeah, I think if you're a leader and stuff and are thinking that you need to do something in these worlds, whether it's sustainability, whether it's for charity, whether it's CSR, whatever, then you probably should. It's a good thing to do.
But I think if you're a leader and already asking yourself that question, you know the answer anyway, realistically, because you wouldn't have asked yourself that question. What you've got to remember as marketers, as leaders, is it doesn't have to be the big all singing and all dancing. We're going to create, you know, we're going to plant a forest of trees for everything bought or this, that, and the other. There's a lot of companies doing that, which is great. And it's great to see that is happening. And if you can afford to do that, that's perfect as well. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
But you can do things on a local level. You can do things on a business park level. You can do things on an office level that will change the perception of how you're giving back to not just you and your business, but to the wider community or the local economy. And you know what? They're the people that are really going to start to make a difference going forward.
100%. 100%. Like, doing this sort of stuff, doing this sort of work, the purpose-driven work, right, is all about impact, not activity. Like, I know I've said that a lot, and it's one of my favourite things to say, but, like, you need to make impact. You can't just do it.
No.
You can't just chuck some money at a local charity and think that's cool.
No, but you can make good impact and gain good activity from doing it at the same time.
Of course you can.
So I saw, and I cannot remember the name of the company, so forgive me, but they said once they get to X amount of sales on site inside this product, they buy every team member internally an electric bike and ban cars from going into the car park. So they all had to cycle to work.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And you just sit there and go, do you want such a simple idea? They got good brand awareness from it. They started to give back towards, they could do their bit that they could actually control. They couldn't stand there and say, we're going to stop all the lorries driving outside of our office. But they could say, we're going to stop our workers coming in by car. And that's really, you can play on that level. You know, that is a change that anybody could make today.
Nobody's expecting you to solve poverty. Like,
no.
Come on.
If you can, please do. If you can, please do solve poverty. That'd be great.
Yeah. If you have that in up your sleeve, then wicked. But we don't expect, that's not expected. Like, doing good work, being conscientious, being empathetic, being aware, socially of the role your business plays in its ecosystem, right? There's very, very, very few businesses that exist on this planet that could have a global impact. Very few. So think about it in terms of your ecosystem, your market, right? What can you do to do better work to your market? Make a difference there, right? If that's scalable, wicked. But yeah, like, you've got a responsibility to do good work, right? And tell that story. But the important bit is do good work. Do you know what?
Always do good work.
And do work better. There's a guy called Mark Shaler, lives up the road from me. We'll get him on our interview series. But he always says a good thing. His proposition is he helps big brands to do better work and do work better.
Yeah.
Because he's a sustainable innovation consultant, is technically. Okay. So he works with people like Coca-Cola and stuff to help them
it doesn't have to be, like you say, it doesn't have to be on that scale. We'll also get Fleury to come on to the interview podcasts. Fleury was one of the people who came up with the 2.6 challenge inside COVID, which raised millions for charity, absolutely millions. You know, there are so many different ways of doing it. And all we ask is that we've got to do is sit there and ask ourselves and make sure that we are looking at it, keeping abreast of it, and are actually trying to do something with it.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think, you know, we've covered a few things in this first series.
Yeah,
a lot of them are thinking based. Tools based, and this is definitely a thinking based, right? It's not super.
No, there's no answer in there for you,
right? We don't know the answer of what you should do, what you're doing, and I don't know if anybody's in the position to preach to make you do it. If you're not feeling it, right? But I think there is definitely an expectation that people do good work for. Like, doing good work, I don't mean selling loads of products, right? I mean doing good work as a company. There's an expectation that the value proposition isn't based on products and services anymore. And I think, or solely on products and services, sorry. And I think it's the responsibility of the marketer to communicate that change. Like, whether you're going through change, whether you've been through change, whether it's always there, you've got to communicate that. You've got to tell the right stories, because
on that value proposition piece, everybody needs to know what the products and service is, but they've got to know that when they purchase that, or they bought it, or they use that product or service, what bigger impact them using that is going to have to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the value. That's what the value proposition is all about.
Yeah. That'd be good. So let's wrap this up with our usual good brand, bad brand situation in relation to the topic. I've got a good and a bad this time.
Oh, good.
From my list. So good, I'm going to shout out the Do Projects, which is the Do Lectures, the Do Books, and the Do Talks.
Right. Okay.
They're a little organisation ran by, well, Mark Shaler, who just mentioned up the road, and David Hyatt from Hyatt Denim, who I think we mentioned in a previous...
Yeah, I mentioned that in one of the podcasts, yeah.
But in theory, they're an events company, do an event. It's not cheap. Like, it's, over $1,000 to go. It's a good price, right? But they have a responsibility and really live their purpose and their core of helping people do better, hence the title, right? Do better, whatever.
I love that. That's so simplistic as right, a title, as a name. I love that.
I've got no end of their little books, like Do Story, Do Lead, Do Purpose, Do... that's loads I've got. Do Silence, there's loads of, like, Do Baking, there's loads of them, right? Do bread, do running. Like, yeah. It's not just marketing and business related. And the talks are really, really good, right? I would recommend you go on YouTube and get look at Katie Elliott, do lecture.
In relation.
Yeah, same as me. And then Floyd Woodrow as well, if you want purpose, who's an ex-SAS guy, always have good story, but he talks about purpose-driven and leadership and stuff like that. He's really good. Although, I mean, there are loads of good ones, if I'm honest. There are really good ones. But check them out. Kind of TED-ish, but a little bit better, like real human, not as polished, and it's really good.
I'll definitely go. I'll go and watch them. I haven't seen any of them, so I'll be really interested.
20 minutes. They're really good. They're really good. But they really live their purpose in everything, in the books, in the events, in their social media stuff. Like, you just, they've got an honest, it's one of those brands, one of those things that really do attract people who believe what they believe, right? Everybody around it has, like, you can feel the difference of community in your chest, not just followers. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels different from others, but I would say that. And then the bad one I've got for this is, for responsibility, is kind of, I'm going to bung Facebook into it, just because they're not telling very good stories at the moment. I know, though, it's been a couple of years of rough ride for that monster of a company. And I think, if I'm honest, I think the original purpose is still kind of there. It's just really hard to find, and it seems a bit messy. I have nothing more to say on that, but just, I think I have a responsibility to tell better stories at this point in time and do better work.
They're two good ones. I'm after this today, I'm going to go look at the do lectures straight away. Sounds really good. I'm going to go a little bit bigger. So I've touched upon a couple of times that I like cycling and things, but Michelin, you know, the tire manufacturer.
Yeah.
They did a cross-up with Vans not so long back, the shoe company, skateboard company, which was all about putting their tire tread on the bottom of the Van trainer to teach young people what good tire tread length was. And I just thought, do you know what that's? How many young people out there don't know what good tire tread is? And I thought that was absolutely genius. It was a small little cross-up, it was a little collaboration, didn't last long. But I just thought it was a really nice thing to go out there and try and do.
Yeah.
But Microsoft we touched about this on an earlier episode, about how Microsoft have really upped their game over the last few years. And their whole AI section in helping plant trees is unbelievable. If you haven't seen the advert with Common on it, talking all over it, then jump on YouTube and find it. We'll put things in the show notes. And then the other one that is on ocean plastic, but are doing it very, very well, is Adidas.
Yeah, really good. Trainers.
Adidas are making new trainers and clothing from recycled plastics that they are finding in the ocean.
Yeah.
That is properly how to do it. It's called the Parley collection.
Yeah.
Which I really like the name Parley as well, because it's all about pirates.
Well, there's a whole thing called Parley TV, which is literally that.
It is that, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how to do sustainability inside your business around ocean plastics properly, for me. But yeah, that, as I think we've talked about my bad one throughout this episode, so I won't go into any more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I go out and buy Adidas Parley stuff. Brilliant, absolutely great. I buy my daughter a new swimsuit every 6 months because she shoots up like a tree. But every time I make sure I buy an Adidas Parley one, every time.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's a great example. I've looked enviously at those trainers for a while.
Yeah. Actually,
but they're good. But Parley.tv on Instagram, @parley.tv is the Parlay for the Oceans thing, where it says, we are creators, thinkers and leaders that raise awareness for our oceans and collaborate on projects to end their destruction.
There you go.
Done.
Pretty much nailed it.
Pretty much nailed it. But that was good. This is the last one of series one. Thanks, people. Thanks for tuning in, if you have tuned in.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be back with another series shortly, where we're going to interview people and get guests on, because this has just been me and him. And that's been more than enough of that, unless you tell us otherwise. And
you'll be sick of us. We're sick of each other. So let's get other people in.
So we're going to get someone else in, and they'll, who knows? But it's been good. Thanks very much for listening. And thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed it. We've really enjoyed talking about it as well, rather than it just being in a pub over beer, moaning about the world.
Yeah.
Tim is a grumpy old man. I'm fast becoming a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
So join us for more grumpy old talks in the next series.
Yeah. And if you want our opinion on anything, or disagree with anything, or retort, then please do so, because we will run out of cool stuff to talk about very soon, I imagine. But, you know, it would be cool. So we want this to be interactive, and we're there for you and to offer you guys value. So if you've got anything that you think could offer you and the other people value, I'm in.
I'm in.
All right.
Thanks.